An elevator descending 216 feet below the Earth's surface takes me to an underground wonderland of sparkling towers hanging from the ceiling and rising up from the floor. Some of them meet in the middle. Curtains of glistening waves adorn the walls. This is Blanchard Springs Caverns, listed by the Travel Channel as one of the incredible U.S. caves and caverns to visit. There are three different tours available to the public: Dripstone, Discovery, and Wild. The Wild Cave Tour takes you back to the undeveloped portions of the cave, with only headlamps to light your way.
I'm just a cave guide from North Arkansas.
My tour guide for this report is Paul McIntosh, who has been leading groups through the cave for 18 years.
You know, I've taken people to places in the National Forest or wherever.
And along for the ride is my first ever hiking buddy, my dad, Steve Gray. When we walk into the cave, the temperature is a bit of a shock. It's 58 degrees inside the cave year-round. Quite different from the 90-plus degrees it was outside that day. At first glance, the cathedral room, the room you first enter on the Dripstone tour, seems to go back forever. It's big. So big that it's hard to even figure out the scale of it since you're underground and only surrounded by unfamiliar objects.
This is the giant column.
It's pretty impressive.
65 feet tall, about 35 feet across at the base, right there. It's just a row of stalagmites that formed. And obviously the middle section receive more mineral and grew faster, outpaced the one on the end here, and reached the ceiling.
It seems as though every inch of the Dripstone tour in Blanchard Cave is covered in mineral formations, from stalagmites to stalactites, cave coral to pearls, curtains to flowstones, even wild helictites that seem to defy gravity in their formation. All of these formations are the result of water trickling through the cave, leaving a mineral deposit over time. McIntosh points out that many people think of cave formations as either living or dead.
People still use the terms living and dead formations, and it's a misnomer because they're not really living. They're mineral deposits. They may have life in them. They may have microbes within them. But they grow if they receive the water with the material. It's not growing right now, but if you could come back tomorrow, it might be. Or you may have to wait 1,000 years.
It's important to not touch cave formations because the oil and dirt on our hands can cause them to halt progress, even if it looks to be dead or not growing. Jonathan Beard is a founding member of the caving club, the Springfield Plateau Grotto. He's been to Blanchard Springs Caverns 5 or 6 times and shares with me why it's a world-class cave.
Its size and the profusion of large speleothems, it has a 140-foot by 70-foot flowstone. It has a nearly 100-foot tall column, and just many other things. It's a photographer's paradise. Really, you can't have a bad experience in that cave.
As the tour continues, McIntosh takes us through a man-made tunnel dug out by a combination of explosives and hand chiseling. For the majority of cave tourists, this beats crawling through the mud in tight, narrow passageways. The trails, handrails, and tunnels of the cavern were added through the 1960s and 70s to allow access to the public. McIntosh explains the trail system on the Dripstone tour.
By 1967, they had made the decision that they were going to somehow accommodate wheelchairs, but that's why they put ramps rather than stairs. They were more than 20 years ahead of the Americans with Disabilities Act in making this decision.
The Dripstone tour does include 50 stair steps, but there are ramps that people with walking disabilities can use to bypass them. Those with wheelchairs will need assistance with some of the hills. Blanchard Springs Cavern saw more than 82,000 visitors last year. It's the only show cave operated by the U.S. Forest Service. Jonathan Beard stresses the importance of this.
And that tells you that how special of a cave this is.
The land that the Forest Service operates is public land. The rangers at the cave and across the Forest Service make it an important part of their mission to educate the public that this is their land. McIntosh agrees, comparing the Discovery and Wild cave tours.
The Discovery tour is still my favorite, and the reason for that, it took me a while to realize it, more people get to see it. You know, and that's what this is all about. It's about the public being able to visit their property.
A part of being caretakers to public land is taking care of the animals that live there. Blanchard Cave is home to many species, some of which are only found in this one cave. One animal that many people associate with caves is plentiful here at Blanchard. Bats. Bats are so prevalent in this cave that the Forest Service closes the Deeper Discovery Tour from the public during the fall and winter months so the bats can hibernate in peace. Many Indiana bats, an endangered species, make their home here. However, white nose syndrome infected the bats of Blanchard in 2014. This fungal disease causes extremely high mortality rates in certain species of bats, including the Indiana bat. Staff members at Blanchard are dedicated to protecting their bat population and also trying to keep it from spreading to other cave systems. Visitors to the cave participate in the containment of white nose syndrome when they exit. They walk across a wet, soapy pad to clean the bottom of their shoes. Humans cannot contract white nose syndrome. Back in the cathedral room on my way through the dripstone tour, I get to see the circle of cave life up close and personal. McIntosh points to the right of the trail.
Bat skeleton around here someplace right there. I remember when he died, it was about 2004. He was Mr. Stinky for a while.
I am pleased to report that Mr. Stinky is no longer quite so smelly, as he's been reduced to only a skeleton by now. Something that does leave a slight smell, though, is a giant pile of bat guano, or bat droppings, just up the trail.
It's about 9 feet tall and 30 feet across at the base. And it's old. You can smell that the few bats that have been in here have added a little bit to it, but not much.
One of McIntosh's friends did a thesis study on the ecology of the cave and determined the bottom of this particular pile to be almost 1,000 years old. Guano is high in nitrogen and is a great fertilizer for growing plants. These giant piles form as the bats cluster closely together on the ceiling. And speaking of the cave ceiling, the geological engineers who worked on the infrastructure for the visitor center and the parking lot made sure that it was all located off the cave. Paul McIntosh explains how revolutionary this was in the late 60s and early 70s.
The people that worked on this, they made certain to build the infrastructure for the building and parking lot and everything off of the cave. They didn't want that footprint on top of the cave. This was all cutting edge back then.
Yeah, absolutely.
These are the things that you would think about automatically now. Back then, people never really thought about conservation.
He explains why it's so important to protect caves like this.
Caves are part of the groundwater system. They're home to innumerable species of animals. There's a lot of keystone species that live in caves, like the salamanders that we see right there. If the salamanders start dying off, we know something's wrong with the groundwater.
Explain a keystone species.
It's a species that you watch and you study, because if it disappears, we know that human beings could be in trouble in the long run.
McIntosh takes us a short ways back into the discovery tour section of the cave. This tour contains nearly 700 stairs, making it not nearly as accessible for some people. After climbing a decent chunk of them, I try to capture a particularly good cave drip on my recorder.
I'm trying to like hold my breath when I do that.
Yeah,
Clearly, I'm not in the best of shape for this tour, but I make do and laugh it off. I also hear every creak of my knees as I descend those stairs. The cave's echo quality is top-notch.
Sorry, you can hear every creak in my knee in here.
After the cave tour, my dad and I drive over to Blanchard Spring, a giant hole in the mountainside with massive amounts of water spilling out, quickly reaching the North Sillimore Creek. The sound of the rushing water is deafening. There is plenty to do in addition to the cave tours in this area if you're looking to spend a weekend. You can swim in the clear North Sillimore Creek when the weather is warm. The campground has plenty of trees, giving you more of a sense of privacy and shade. Hiking abounds with the North Sillimore Creek Trail leading over to the east end of the Ozark Highlands Trail. There are mountain bike trails along with opportunities for hunting, fishing, and birding. If camping's not your thing, the town of Mountain View is about 14 miles south of the Blanchard Springs Recreation Area. Here you can enjoy folk music on the square just about every night. Folk legend Jimmy Driftwood was from this area, and his musical spirit lives on in the town.
And they call it Blanchard Cave.
For KSMU's sense of community, I'm Jess Belisle.
They call it Blanchard Cave. They found